not going to do any announcements right now. We'll get all of those later this evening. But again, I appreciate you being here tonight. If you would, open your Bibles to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Second Timothy chapter 3, we're going to be reading verse number 1. This know also, that in the last days, perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than loving of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Now, boy, I'm going to tell you what, that sums up this world right now. That sums up this country we live in right now. And it's not going to get any better. People say, well, yeah, it's going to get, but no, it ain't going to get no better. The Bible says evil seducers will wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. So it's not going to get any better. But these scriptures being read, I want to preach tonight on this subject. Why should I be happy? Well, I'm going to preach on why we should be happy. How can you be happy in all this mess? We're going to take a look. But let's pray. Father, I just want to tell you I love you tonight. I want to thank you, Father, for the privilege, God, to be back to church. And, Father, I pray, Lord, I'd never take it for granted. And God, there's people all around the world love to be in a church like this tonight. And I pray, Father, that you'd help us, God, and not ever take that for granted. Pray, Heavenly Father, that you'd continue to bless the preacher, Mr. Teresa, and give him a good week, a good time off. Pray, Heavenly Father, you'd bless your word tonight. And God, I pray for your power and anointing. As Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. And God, if that applies to anybody, it applies to me. I'm totally helpless and useless without you and the Holy Spirit, Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Pray you'd help me tonight. And whatever's said and done, I promise you, I'll do my best to give all the praise, honor, and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll thank you and praise you for what you do. We're asking in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. You know, we look at these things. I'm going to quickly hit on these and then move on. But first of all, the Bible says this, know also. That word know means to understand. It means to discern. It means to be aware. So, you know, when the Bible here says in this scripture, this know also, we need to know, we need to understand what's going on in this life today. We need to understand what's happening in this world today. Now, I know a lot of people turn the deaf ear to it and turn looking up the other way. Well, it's going to get better. No, it ain't going to get no better. God said it wasn't. Son, we're coming into the last day. Well, I've heard that over and over and over. I know the last day. It might be 100 years from now, 10 million years. I don't know. But we're coming into the last days in God's time frame. But we need to understand. And we need to be able to discern, and we need to be able to be aware of what's going on. That's why the Bible says here this, this know also. We need to understand these things. Because we're in the last days. Whether it's tomorrow, or 2 months, or 6 years, or 40 years, I don't know. I don't know God's timetable. But son, we're in the last days. And so the Bible says here in 2 Timothy, this know also. And then it goes on to say, in the last days, perilous times shall come. Well, what does that word perilous mean? That word perilous means different. It means danger. And it means a lack of self-control. Well, boy, I tell you what, if it ever sums up perilous, this day does today. We in perilous times. And you can turn around and look at everything going on. And you know, things used to come down the pipe about once every couple weeks or every month, something would come along and blow us away. Man, I never thought that happened. It's every day now. Every day we get up, it's not one thing but a half a dozen things hitting the front pages. Everywhere you turn, it's something new. There ain't none of it good except the coming of the Lord. You don't hear about that out in the world. So prayers are something different. Now, we see all, we're going to go over some things right here we just went over. They're no different now than they were then, but we're going to see more of these things as time goes on. So, also, it means danger. You know, as we look at these things right here, and I'm going to hit them quickly again and move on, we need to stop and think about the danger in what we're looking at in these scriptures. And we're not talking about Sunday school teachers teaching the Word of God. We're not talking about preachers getting up and preaching the Word of God. We're talking about the way things are going to be in the last days. And then it also means a lack of self-control. I'm going to tell you what, if there's ever been a time in this world, and I know, days of Noah, Sodom and Gomorrah, days of Nineveh, and all through the Word of God, there's been times when the world was ungodly and wicked and perverted as it could get, and God had to destroy it. And it's there now. There ain't none of these places I just mentioned got anything on this world today. So there's a lack of self-control. People don't control themselves no more. It ain't done for them to do what they do. And it's getting worse and worse and worse. You say, well, Brother Melvin, you painting a bad picture. I hope I am, because I'm going to show you something in a minute. I hope it'll encourage you. Let's look at verse 2 and quickly hit on some of these. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. We're there today. That's men love themselves more than they love God. And let me say this, too, and I love saved people. You got a lot of saved people who not just, I'm talking about all over the United States, saved people that love themselves more than they love God. What do you mean? Just look at them. Half of them don't go to church. I'm not talking about this church. I'm talking about saved people, the bride of Christ in general. They don't go to church half the time. If they live in South Carolina, it rains in New Mexico, they don't go to church. And I'm not trying to be ugly or critical. I'm telling you where we're at today, son. They love themselves more than they love God. Well, I ain't got nothing to do Sunday morning. I might be that preacher. They love themselves more than they love God. And that's where we're at today. I'm talking about here in America. And I'm not talking about one denomination. I'm talking about the whole body of Christ, the blood of the blood-bought believers. Lovers of themselves more than lovers of God. They're covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers. I'm not covering all of these in depth, but pretty well self-explanatory. And boy, here's one. Disobedient to parents. And boy, I tell you what, when I was growing up, I didn't dare sass my mom and dad. And some of you, a little bit older than you were then, people, you probably didn't sass your mom and dad either. Matter of fact, you didn't give them much of a and rolled eyes. If you'd have rolled your eyes on your mom and dad, most of you probably had your eyes slapped back to the other side. I'm just saying today, disobedient to parents. You got kids running around here 6 and 7 and 8, 10 years old, they tell the parents what to do. It's ridiculous. But that's where we're at. We're in the last days. And it's going to get waxed worse and worse. There's a lot I can say about that, but we'll go on. Unthankful and unholy. And that's the way it is today. People are unthankful. They ain't thankful about stuff on the average. And they're unholy. You can take saved people, and again, I'm not down on saved people. I love God's children. You talk about a lot of saved people, they're unholy. They don't live a holy life to God, separated like that. Hey, I'm not perfect either. Don't look at me. I ain't perfect. I'm probably as bad as anybody else. But I'm just saying, this is where we're at today. Without natural affection. Now, boy, that right there, I ain't getting into that. If you know what that is, that is gone plumb rapid in the world here in the United States. It is unbelievable. Now, Sodom and Gomorrah didn't have nothing on this place today. Nothing. There ain't nothing went on in Sodom and Gomorrah, according to the Bible, that don't go on today, and it's getting worse and worse and worse. Natural affection. You know what that is. Unnatural affection. Truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Boy, you can stop. Let me stop right there. Despisers of those that are good. Do you realize that the world on the average hates God's children? Now, I've got some friends. I've got some good friends that they're not saved. And I love them. They're good friends and not saved. But I'm saying on the average, this ungodly crowd hates God's children. And that's what we see here. They despisers of those that are good. Well, what are you, a holy roller? Yeah, who do you think you are? You ain't perfect. You've heard it. You've been around it. That's where we're at today, folks. And then, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures of God, lovers of God. Got that right there today. And I'm going to say something here. I'm going to do what the Holy Spirit says do. I like the Panthers. And I hope they win. But I want you to understand something. You're going to probably have a couple hundred thousand people down there at Charlotte Sunday for the Panthers football game. Now, probably a big majority of those people, or a lot of them, are going to be God's kids, saved people. Lovers of pleasure is more than lovers of God. Well, I don't get to go down. They're in the playoffs now, and they might be in the Super Bowl. So, I'm going to go. That's their business. But that's where we're at today. Lovers of pleasure is more than lovers of God. Now, let me say this. If I'm not here Sunday, it ain't because I'm down there. I promise you, it ain't going to be that. I'm going to get that squared away. Brother Melvin ain't here today. He's probably down at the football stadium. You think I am? Ask Brother Windham. He'll tell you I ain't down there. Having a form of godliness, but now the power thereof and such turn away. You got a lot of people today running around here. They've got a little form of godliness now. Now they'll do their little part, and they'll do their little thing for the Lord each week. But that's as far as it goes. They have a form of godliness, but they don't want to commit. They don't want God's power on them. They don't want nothing to do. They just want to have a little form of God. Go through a little routine and ritual every day and every week. And then we're through with God. We've done what we had to do. And there ain't no power on their lives that couldn't blow a gnat off a plate. I'm not trying to be ugly. I'm trying to get us to see where we're at today. With this in mind, I want to preach tonight, and you see all these negatives. I want to preach on this subject. Why should we be happy? I was going to title it, Why Should I Be Happy? But we be happy. And I'm talking about born again, children of God, why should we be happy? Well, first of all, I want to say we should be happy because God's our Father. God's our Father. Go to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter number 1, God's our Father. And look at verse number 1, Ephesians 1 and verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. And look at verse number 2. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. You know why we can be happy today in spite of all this ungodliness and filth and smut and perversion going on in America and in this world? God's our Father. We got a Heavenly Father that loves us. We got a Heavenly Father sitting up in heaven. He knows exactly what's going on. He is not oblivious to what's happening. He knows what's going on, and He knows exactly what He's going to do. May I say to you tonight, we need not worry because God's our Father. Why should we be happy? Boy, we got a Father that loves us. And I'm going to show you some things here in a minute about our Father. He's not just our Father, but there's a lot of other aspects that fits into it. Now, when we were growing up, we had a father. Some of us had fathers that had multi-talents, could do a lot of things. Some of us had fathers that maybe just excelled in one area. But the Father we have, our Heavenly Father, let's take a look and see what He can do. First of all, I want to say tonight, He's infinite. Go to Psalms 147. Yeah, Psalms 147. Psalms 147, He's infinite. That means He's all-knowing. Psalms 147, look at verse number 5. Great is our Lord, and of great power, and His understanding is infinite. He's all-knowing. There ain't nothing He don't know. He knows everything about what's going on all the time. People say, well, I'll get away with that. No, we ain't getting away. Nobody's getting away with anything. God knows. He's infinite. He knows it all. He knows our thoughts. He knows our heart. He knows our thinking. He knows what we do. He knows our motives. He knows everything about everybody all the time and not some of the time. That's the Father we got. He's infinite. He's all-knowing. Now, let's go to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. John chapter 3. And look at verse number 20. First John chapter 3. First John chapter 3 and look at verse number 20. For if our heart condemn us, and He knows our hearts, He knows our hearts better than we do. If our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. May I say to you tonight, the Heavenly Father we've got, He's not oblivious to what goes on. He knows exactly where this place is going. He knows exactly what's going to happen down here. He knows exactly when and how. He knows our thoughts. He knows our heart. He knows what we see. He knows what we do. He knows what everybody does all the time and not some of the time. That's the Father we got. He's all-knowing. He's infinite. He knows it all. Well, somebody said, well, I don't think He knows my thoughts. Well, yeah, He does. He knows what I'm going to think tomorrow this time. He knows what I'm going to think then. He don't miss a stroke. He don't miss a lick. He knows it all. And that's what the Bible says. Go to Isaiah chapter 48. Isaiah chapter 48. Isaiah chapter 48. And look at verse number 3. Now watch this. He said, I have declared the former things from the beginning. And they went forth out of my mouth, and I showed them and did them suddenly, and they came to pass. He knows it all. He knows what happened in eternity past. He knows what's going to happen in eternity future, forever and ever and ever. Let's look at it again. Verse 3. I have declared the former things from the beginning. He knows what happened then. He knows what's happening now. And He'll know what's happening a billion years in eternity past future. He knows it all. I've had people say, well, God don't know what I've done. He don't know what I did yesterday. Oh, yes, He does. He knows what I thought this morning at 6 o'clock in the morning. I didn't know because I was asleep. He knows. I'm just saying, we can be happy today because God's our Father. Oh, that, look at Isaiah 46. Isaiah chapter 46. Look at verse number 9. And remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Look at it again, verse 10. Declaring the end from the beginning. I want to say to you tonight, we serve a God that He knows it all. He knows everything. He knows what's happening. He knows what's going to transpire tomorrow. He knows what's going to happen to us when we go home tonight. He knows what's going to happen in this world tomorrow and next week and next month. He knows what Russia's going to do. He knows what Islam is going to do. He knows where they're going ahead. He knows what's happening. He knows their thoughts. He knows it all. He don't miss nothing. That's the Father we got in heaven. I can be happy with Him. Not only that, but not only is He all-knowing, but He's also, He has no boundaries or limitations. He's without boundaries or limitations. Look at 1 Kings chapter 8. He has no boundaries or limitations. You know, 1 Kings chapter 8. He's without limits or boundaries. 1 Kings chapter 8, and look at verse number 27. Yeah, 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse number 27. Yeah. But will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold. Stop, look, listen. He says, behold. Will God dwell on the earth? Behold, the heaven and the heavens of heavens cannot contain thee. How much less this house that I have builded? The heaven and the heavens of heavens cannot contain thee. He has no boundaries. He has no limits. He controls it all. He knows it all. He can do it all. And He's got it all under control. There ain't nothing out of kilter in His timetable. There ain't nothing going the wrong way in His time frame. It's all going according to His will. No boundaries and no limitations on God. Hey, that's our Father. That's our Heavenly Father. I ain't got to worry about all this garbage out here. He's in control. Our Father's got it in control. Not only that, He's omnipotent. He's all-powerful. Go to Jeremiah chapter 32. Yeah, Jeremiah chapter 32. He's all-powerful. Yeah, Jeremiah chapter 32. Look at verse number 17. Jeremiah chapter 32 and verse number 17. Ah, Lord God, behold, Thou hast made the heaven and the earth by Thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for You, for Thee. Nothing. He's all-powerful. There ain't nothing He can't handle. There ain't nothing can defeat Him. There ain't nobody or nothing or no power can defeat our Father. He's all-powerful. Verse 17 again. Thou hast made the heaven and the earth by Thy great power and stretched out Thy arm, and there is nothing too hard for Thee. Boy, I tell you what, I'm happy tonight, despite all this ungodly filth down here in this smudge pot. I'm happy. My Father's got it under control, and He knows what He's doing. Not only that, but look at verse 26. Same chapter. Jeremiah chapter 32, and look at verse number 26. Then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, saying, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for Me? No, He's all powerful. There ain't nothing too hard for Him. I can say today, He's my Father, He's our Father, and I can be happy because He's our Father, and He's in control of everything. Not only that, but He's omnipresent. He's everywhere all the time. He ain't over here 1 minute and you don't see Him, and over there, He's everywhere all the time. He sees it all. He don't miss nothing. He's omnipresent. He's ever present. Psalms 139. Psalms 139. Boy, I tell you what, we got a Father that knows it all. Psalms 139. He's omnipresent. He's ever present all the time. Psalms 139. Psalm of David. Now watch this. Oh Lord, thou hast searched me and know me. He knows everything we do. He knows every thought we have. And He knows everything we're going to do tomorrow and the next day and the next week. Thou knowest my downsettings and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. That's our Heavenly Father. He's ever present. He don't never leave us. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all thy ways. Is there not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether? And sometimes things come out of this filthy mouth of mine, and I wish they didn't. After I said it, it's too late. He knows it. He's right there. He's ever present. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. David said, I don't even understand it. I can't attain. I can't imagine your knowledge. I can't imagine that you know everything I do all the time. Blew David away. And then David said, whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? We came because he's always there. In the wee hours of the night when we need him or something, he's there. In the middle of the day when we got problems, he's there. He don't forsake us. He don't leave us. He don't mess us another area. He's right there for his children all the time. David said, whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. You say, well, yeah, I know he's there. Well, all right, let's look. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. David said, if I'm in hell, he's going to be there too. He's ever present. He's always there for us. David said, if I ascend in heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me and thy right hand shall hold me. May I say to you tonight, he's omnipresent. He's with us all the time. Thank God he's up here with me. The Holy Spirit's right here with me in the form of the Father. And he's with every one of you sitting out here tonight in the form of the Father. He's right here. He's ever present. You don't care. People say, well, I'll get away from God. I'll go here. They ain't going to get away from God. He knows he's with them all the time. He, everywhere we go, no matter what kind of problems we have, no matter what kind of troubles we have, no matter what situations we're in life, no matter what comes down the pipe, he's always there. He's always there, and he always will be there. And sometimes, David said, I wonder where he's at. Many people in the Word of God said, oh God, where are you? And oh, if I could only find God, he's right there with us. And there's been some times in my life when I thought, God, where are you? Little did I stop and think about, he's right there. He don't leave and he don't forsake. He's right there all the time. So he's omnipresent. He's always there. And not only that, but this is one that there ain't very many people could say they got, but not only that, but he's immutable. That means he's unchangeable. He's immutable. Take your Bible and go to Malachi chapter 3. Yeah, Malachi chapter 3. That's a big word, immutable. It means he's unchangeable. Yeah. Malachi chapter 3. Look at verse number 6. For I am the Lord. I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob, you're not consumed. I don't know of anybody in this world that's ever been immutable. I don't know of anybody in this world that's ever been unchangeable. People are people. You may speak to them one time and they're just as kind and generous and grateful. Next time you look at them, they're ready to cut your head off. That's the way people are. That's because we live in this nasty flesh. And it never will get eradicated in this life. We're not unmutable. We're as unchangeable as the weather, but not our Father. Our Father is never going to change. He's always going to be the same. It don't matter what our situation is. It don't matter how we do, what we are. He's going to be the same. He's immutable. He's unchangeable. Praise God. Unchangeable. I am the Lord, he said. I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob, are ye not consumed. A lot of times, you know, we get in ruts in our lives. A lot of times things go to getting wrong in our lives. And man, we think, oh, man, Lord, the world, it's coming down on us. I don't know which way to turn. I don't know where to go. I don't know what to do. Everywhere I go, is something falling apart. Every time I look up, there's something different coming down the pipe. Where are you, God? Where are you, Lord? He's right there. He's ever present, and He don't change. And He never will change. He never will say, well, yeah, it's all right now. If you sin, it's okay. No, He don't change. Sin's sin. He don't change one way or another. So He's immutable. Hey, that's our Father. That's our Father, our Heavenly Father. And then not only that, but He's eternal. He's eternal. Look at Psalms 90. He is eternal. He's forever. Psalms 90 and verse number 2. Look at verse 1. Lord, Thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever Thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, Thou art God. He's eternal. Everlasting, when He's always been. Everlasting, 14 billion, trillion, million, zillion years down the road, He's still there. He's everlasting. He's always been, and He'll always will be. Why? He's everlasting. He's eternal. He never ends. He always was. People say, ask me, so where did He come from? I don't know where He come from. I can't tell them. But I know He's always been, and He always will be. He's everlasting. He's eternal. Look at Isaiah 57. Isaiah 57. Isaiah 57, verse number 15. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I will dwell in a high and holy place with him. Also it is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to relieve the heart of the contrite ones. What I want us to notice is that first sentence. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity. I've had people say, you probably have too, well, I'll get away from God one day. I'll get away from Him. I'll hide from Him. There's people in the Word of God thought they hid from Him too. He said, where art thou? Where art thou? He's eternal. He's always been. And He always will be. That's our Heavenly Father. That's our Heavenly Father. So first of all, why should we be happy in this ungodly smudge pot down here? God's our Father. And then secondly, now I don't have time to go through all these as I did this, but I'm going to hit on them for the sake of time. As a matter of fact, to do this justice, should have been each one that I mentioned tonight should have been a whole message within itself. But I want you to see this. Number two, second reason why we should be happy is Jesus is our Savior. Go to 2 Peter chapter 1. Here, 2 Peter chapter 1. Here, 2 Peter chapter 1. Look at verse number 1. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. That's the second reason why we ought to be happy. Jesus is our Savior. We need to realize tonight, what He did for us. And how He hung on that cross, shed His blood, gave His life, and suffered and died for something like me. He's my Savior. Apart from Him, I'd be in the pits of hell one day. I'd be out in the lake of fire forever and ever and ever and ever, burning and screaming and crying and hollering, and it wouldn't do a bit of good. Why? Because I'd be there. But Jesus is my Savior. He saved my soul as He did everybody in here that knows Him as their Savior. As far as I know, everybody in here knows Him as Savior. Well, I tell you what, there ain't nothing down here and getting me down knowing Jesus is my Savior. I'm going to heaven. I'm going to live with Him forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And when I've been there 5 billion years, I just got there. And so will you. Hallelujah for the Savior. And there's a lot of things I'd like to turn to and read out the Word of God, but again, I don't have time, but I do want to hit on some things about the Savior. Number one, He's holy. He's righteous. He's just. He's guiltless. Oh yeah, the scribes and Pharisees hired. He's guilty. He's guilty. Crucify Him. Nail Him to the cross. Kill Him. He's guilty. Wrong. Our Savior is guiltless. Our Savior is sinless. He never sinned. He never thought of sinning. He couldn't have sinned if He'd have wanted to, because He's God incarnate. So He didn't sin, so He's sinless. If He wasn't sinless, He couldn't have died for our sins and forgive us. His blood wouldn't have been perfect. Not only is He's guiltless, sinless, He's spotless. As a lamb without spot and blemish, that's who our Savior is. A lamb without spot or blemish. He's spotless. He's innocent. Never done one thing wrong. Never went to the wrong place. Never said the wrong thing. Never acted the wrong way. Never did anything that wasn't right. He said, I do those things which please my Father. He didn't do nothing wrong. Never in His life did He do anything that wasn't right, and wasn't perfect, and wasn't the way it should have been done. Never. Not once. He's innocent of all charges. Sat on the cross, crucifying an innocent man. He crucified for us. We ain't innocent. He's innocent. Never done anything wrong. Never went to the wrong place. Never said the wrong thing. Never thought the wrong thing. And couldn't if He'd wanted to. Not only that, but He's meek. I don't know about you, but if somebody nailed me to a cross and do what they did to Him, beat Him and mock Him and curse Him and slap Him and spit on Him and put sword, spear in His side and a whip on His back and do Him like they did and make fun of Him, boy, I'd have wanted to retaliate. Boy, I'd have wanted to get off that cross, get out of there and tear Him apart. What? Flesh. I ain't meek. And nobody else is meek like He is. He's meek. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And then not only that, but He's merciful. Praise God in heaven, He's merciful. If it wasn't for God's mercy, if it wasn't for the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ, every one of us would be on our way to hell right now and in the lake of fire one day down the road. Hey, we would. I'd be right down there with everybody else. But He's merciful. Praise God, He showed me mercy and not judgment. And then not only that, but He's humble. He's humble. All through the Bible, you can see where there were some people that looked humble. But Jesus Christ was humble. He humbled Himself as a man to become obedient to the death of the cross. And you know what? God Himself would have had to humble Himself, become as a man, and take on the sin of the world, and die on the cross. He'd have had to humble Himself to do it. That's just about as humble as a person can get. He did. He's humble. Boy, I wish I had time to elaborate on some of these. And then he's forgiving. Well, I ain't forgiving you for what you've done to me, son. I ain't forgiving you for that. Or somebody will say, well, I'll forgive you, but I ain't going to forget it. If you don't forget it, you didn't forgive them. And I realize there's, I know we live in the flesh, and sometimes it's hard to forgive some things, but he's forgiving. He forgave every sin that's ever been committed in this world, or ever will be committed in this world, or ever has been committed in this world, every ungodly act, every undastardly deed, and everything people do, as ungodly as they are, he forgave every last one of them. He's forgiving. Hallelujah. Not only that, but what is he to us? Well, first of all, he's our redemption. We've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. He's our redeemer. He's our propitiation. He took our punishment. He took our sin. He propitiated for us. He took it on himself. And then he's our advocate. He's our advocate between the Father. He goes and talks for us. Wow, what? See what old Melvin done down there today? See how he acted? He's my advocate. He intercedes. And then not only that, but he's our intercessor. He's our advocate, but he also intercedes for us. I wish I had somebody interceding for me sometime when I was young growing up before my dad got a hold to me. There ain't nobody intercede for me. And most of the time, well, my mother tried a lot of time, and it's fruitless. The only way I got interceded with was something on my backside. And I didn't even deserve it. I didn't deserve it. Actually, I did. He's our intercessor. He intercedes for us to the Father. If we didn't have an intercessor, we'd be in big trouble, wouldn't we? He's our intercessor. Not only that, but our intercessor, but he's going to leave us here to suffer down here forever. Boy, y'all leave me mighty funny. No! He's coming back one day. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. He's going to come back with a sound of trump, and he's getting us out of this mess down here, and he's taking us home to be with the Father and to be in heaven forever and ever and ever and ever. All the eons of time. He's coming back for us. You've got people down here today that forsake their kids, they forsake their spouses, they forsake their jobs, they forsake their families, they forsake their churches. But he ain't forsaking us. He's coming back to get us one day. Look up, for our redemption draweth nigh. Well, I've been hearing that all the time. Yeah, he's coming back for us. It may be tonight. I don't know. Barbara said so a lot of times, it may be tonight, brother. We don't know, it may be. But I can say one thing for sure, I don't know when it is, nobody else does, but I do know he's coming back because he said he would. So secondly, first of all, God's our Father, and then Jesus our Savior. And then the third thing that we can be happy for in this ungodly mess down here is the Bible's our Word. This thing right, this book right here is our word. This is our roadmap. This is what we need to use. The Bible is the word. Again, I don't have time to get into a lot of scriptures, but let's turn over to Hebrews chapter 4. You probably quote most of these scriptures, Hebrews chapter 4. Look at verse number 12. For the word of God is quick. That word means it's alive. You read the paper yesterday, and that's dead stuff today. You might read a good book, and it's dead 2 weeks down the road. But the Word of God is quick. But this book is alive. I'm talking about the 1611 King James Bible. I ain't talking about the NIV and the RSV and the CTL and the RND and the do-do-do. I'm talking about the King James Bible. The Word of God is quick and powerful. Better watch it. This book's sharp. It'll cut us. And sharper than any two-edged sword. It'll cut you going in and cut us coming out. Piercing even to dividing asunder soul and spirit. Now I want you to notice what the Bible says here in Hebrews. It's piercing even to dividing asunder of soul and spirit. That's talking about our inner being. Our inner beings, our soul, and our inner beings where the Holy Spirit dwells. Yeah. And of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The Word of God. If I'm going to tell you what, boy, the Word of God will get out what's in here and get in here what needs to get out. The Word of God. Quick and powerful. And it's discerning the thoughts and intents of the heart. Not only that, but we think about the Word of God. I'll give you a few things. And the Word of God is pure. There's nothing in this book that's not perfect. There's nothing in my Bible, your Bible, King James Bible, that's not pure. No flaws, no errors, no mistakes, pure. The Bible not only is pure, but it's restraining. I'm going to tell you what, son. We get out of line, we get this book in, go on our trail. It'll restrain us. It'll get us lined back up. It'll help us. So the Bible is restraining. It restrains us a lot of times from different areas of our lives. A lot of times, we may go to getting out of sorts with God. Sometimes people get out of God's will and go to getting out and sin. This Bible right here restrains them. It'll get them back where they need to be. And then not only that, but this Bible is perfect. Somebody said, well, I can show you some errors in there. No, you can't show me no errors, no King James Bible. There is none. There's not an error in this book from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21. There's not an error in the Word of God, in the King James Bible. There's no contradictions, and there's no errors or anything in this Bible that's not right. This Bible is perfect. No flaws. No errors, no contradictions, no mistakes. It's perfect. And then not only that, but it's sure. You can be sure of this King James Bible. You read this book and you can be sure whatever it says is going to happen. You can be sure if God made a promise in here, He's going to keep it. You can be sure if you go to the Lord with the Word of God and read this thing and get with Him, He's going to show you something. He'll be sure to show us what we need. He'll show us what we need to cut out of our lives. He'll show us what we need to cut into our lives. This book is sure. Not only that, but this book is truth. How many times you ever heard somebody tell a lie and you knew they were lying when they told it? I used to go to school with a kid one time. He told so many lies to believe the dog believed him. He told a lie one time, the dog was sitting there going, I'm lying. He didn't. But I'm just saying, this book is perfect. This book is truth. There ain't nothing in the Word of God that's not true. Now, there are some things in the Word of God hard for us to understand, but don't mean it ain't true. If we don't understand it, don't mean it's not true. This Bible is true all the way. Genesis 1:1, Revelation 22:21 is true. Every word, every comma, every semicolon, every period, it's perfect, it's true. No mistakes. And not only is it true, but it's enduring. This book right here is going to endure forever. This book's going to be in heaven. It's going to endure for eternity. God's Word. It's enduring. It ain't going to fade away. And then not only that, but it's effectual. You know how to get us straightened out in our lives? Get in the Word of God. And we can do it prayer too. But I'm talking about the Word of God. If I go to getting out of sorts a little bit in my life and things ain't going exactly like I should be, get in that book. And I'm not bragging on me. I'm using me because I know me. And my wife knows me. If I go to getting out of line a bit or go to slacking off or something, get in this book and it's effectual. It'll have some effect on me. This book will have effect on our lives if we get in and read it. A lot of people say, well, I don't know what to do. Get in the book and read it. God will show you. He'll make some effect in your life on it. In my life, this book's effectual. And then not only that, but this book is inspired. This is the inspired Word of God. Holy Ghost written. The Word of God. It's inspired. It ain't just something a bunch of writers put down, a bunch of apostles and all wrote down. They were inspired by the Holy Ghost of God to pin down what they did. So this book's inspired. Not only that, it's inspired, but also it's living. This is a living book. My wife reads a lot of books. She'll get a book about that thick and read it in about 3 hours. That's another lie, but no, I'm serious. But she likes to read books. She can sit down and read a good book, and 2 days the thing's gone. She don't even probably remember what happened. But I'm saying to you tonight, this book right here is alive. And we can read this thing over and over and over and over and over, and it's alive because we'll find something new every time you read it. Now, I guarantee you, I know what happened to me. You can read a scripture 20 times in a period of whatever, and all of a sudden, boy, the Holy Spirit shows you, I never saw that before. And you've read it a dozen times. Why? It's alive. Son, this book's living right here. It'll put some life in us. Not only is the book living, but this book's active. This book is active. Always something going on. It's active. The Bible is a lamp. It says, oh, in Psalms, it's a lamp to our feet and a light in our path. It's a lamp. It illuminate for us. Bible is also, Bible described as a fire. The Bible described as a hammer. And the Bible described as seed. The Bible described as the sword. Sword of spirit. Quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. The Word of God. So, why should we be happy? Because the Bible's a word. And then I'm going to close with this. The last thing is, heaven is our home. Heaven is our home. Now, look at John chapter 14. You can probably quote these scriptures, very familiar scriptures. John chapter 14. Verse number 1. John 14, verse 1. And this is the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are... Hey, who's that? That's our Father. That's our Father. In our Father. In my Father's house are many mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself to where I am, that you may be also. You know, heaven's going to be our home one day. Whether he comes back, takes us out of here in the rapture, or whether we go to the grave, heaven's going to be our home one day. Go to Revelation chapter 21. I'm almost through. Yeah, Revelation chapter 21. Look at verse number 27. Revelation 21, verse number 27. Yeah. And there shall in no wise enter into anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination, or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Now, let's think about what we read at the beginning over in Timothy. With all that ungodliness and all that wickedness and all that perversion, there will be no wise entering into anything that defileth, and whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie. All that junk will be gone, it'll be forgotten and never be remembered anymore. Hallelujah. But they that are written in the Lamb's book of life. So we won't have to put up with that trash no more and all that junk. Look at Revelation 21. Verse number 4. And God, who? That's our Heavenly Father. That's our Heavenly Father. And God shall wipe away most tears from their eyes. Oh, let me read that again. My glasses are getting fogged. And God shall wipe away some of their tears from their eyes. Oh. Oh. Give me some new lids, baby. But God shall wipe away A-L-L. How many is all? It's all. There won't be no more crying. All tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death. We won't die no more. Neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Hallelujah to His name. Here's a little Revelation chapter 20, and I'm almost through. Revelation chapter 20, verse number 10. Praise God for this scripture. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented night and day forever and ever. Hallelujah! The devil's going to be gone. I ain't got to put up with old smut face no more. I ain't got to be aggravated with old Beelzebub no more. I ain't got to worry about Slewfoot no more. He's going to be in that lake of fire with the beast and the false prophet forever and ever and ever and ever. And he'll never get out. And I ain't got to be bothered with him no more. Hallelujah for it. I'm going to be in heaven. And so are you if you know Jesus. And I believe everybody in here probably professes to do. Heaven. That ain't all. Look at Revelation 21. Look at verse number 18. Got some more things here. Yeah, Revelation 21, verse number 18. And the building of the wall of it was jasper. And the city was pure gold like in the clear glass. And the foundation of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. And the first foundation was jasper, and the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, and the fourth emerald, the fifth sardox, the sixth sardis, and the seventh crystallite, and the eighth beryl, and the ninth topaz, and the tenth, whatever that is, chrysoporus, and the 11th jaconeth, and the 12th amethyst, and the 12 gates of pearls. Every several gate of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, transparent gold. That's where we're going to be, in heaven. Ain't that going to be wonderful? But hold on. There's more. There's more. Look at verse number 22. Yeah. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither the moon, shining it, for the glory of God did lighten it. Woo! And the Lamb is the light thereof. Not only are we going to have all that other stuff, but we're going to be the Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to be the sun. He's going to be the moon. He's going to be the light there. And we don't have to worry about nothing no more. It don't matter what goes on now. It don't matter what happens now. One of these days, we're going to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what's going to make it worthwhile. So, why should we be happy? All this ungodly mess, and every day you get up, it's stuff coming down the pipe. Ice is getting worse. Everything, and it's going to get worse. He will seduce with wax worse and worse, deceiving, being deceived. Why should we be happy? God's our Father, Jesus our Savior, the Bible's the Word, and heaven's our home. If you would, let's bow for prayer.